Good morning.
Good morning.
As I get everything together up here, appreciate everybody that is here, that can be here, and appreciate the fact that you're putting God first in your lives. And I know there's several that are away. I'm sure they're doing the same thing at different places, but it is good to be with you this morning. Appreciate all the visitors we have with us, especially, and hope you get a chance to be back with us at the next time that you have an opportunity to do so. Now, tonight, Brother Mark's got the song service, so we'll be doing, I guess this afternoon, 5 o'clock, so try to be back for that if you can. No, he would appreciate everybody being here that can be, and we'll always enjoy the singing and so forth, so try for that. Seems kind of funny being up here, because I think it's probably been, I'd say, close to a year since I've preached a lesson. It's kind of different, because there for a while as a group here, we didn't have Craig, so it was just the men of the group preaching, and it seemed like we preached at times probably every month or every 2 months. So it's kind of different getting back up here, but I guess it is and it isn't, because really, you know, once you've been up here, you have been, and once you kind of get into the swing of things as far as preaching, then it doesn't really change. It is a responsibility, I think, of each one of us as men, and something that we need to take part in whenever we get the opportunity. So I appreciate that opportunity to be able to do that. This morning I'm going to talk about something that I think we all have a problem with in our lives. And I think the older we get, the more problems we have with this particular characteristic of human nature. I can say that for a fact, because, and Tandy can probably attest to that, because at work, where I work at, there are multiple things that happen within a short amount of time or within a day. And used to, I could just go into the store and just do them all, no problem whatsoever. Not anymore. I think once I broke about 47, 48 years of age, things kind of changed. And I've started writing out lists of things to remind me what to do. Otherwise, guess what? I'm going to forget something. And where I work at, as is the case most places, if you forget something and it's important, guess what? You don't have a job very long. So really, that's the topic this morning, is forgetfulness. And this all kind of came up from dealing with Julie in the past, that it's kind of turned with the two of us. Used to, she was the forgetful one, and I wasn't. And now I'm the forgetful one, and she remembers more. And I sometimes get in trouble for that, but we won't go into that part. But she, I can remember years ago, we came to services. And she looked over at me just right after we'd sat down, and she said, "Did I turn the stove off?" And I sat there a minute, and I go, "How would I know? I wasn't even in the kitchen, you know?" And we sat there a few minutes longer, and she goes, "I might want to check on that." So I jump up and I drive, as most of you know, about 30, 35 minutes one direction home, walk in the door, look at the oven, it's off. What do you do now? I mean, services by that time were pretty much over, so I was like standing there thinking, do I go back? Well, wait a minute, I have to go back, because they're there and they have to have somebody take them home. So I hop back in the car and I drive back into Bloomington and pick everybody up, and, you know. But those kinds of things happen, and it, you know, it's just life. It's that annoying human characteristic that we all have. And as you're younger and you get older, it seems to increase. The other thing that happens to her on occasion is she'll go to the grocery or to Walmart. It seems like Walmart's the place she goes anymore. And she'll come home and she'll say, "I forgot to put that on my list. And it's something, an ingredient that she needs for the particular dessert or whatever she's making. So then the next time she goes, she has to pick that up, or she might even have to make a special trip. So really, the thought there is that she forgot what she went to the store for. And kind of remember that phrase, because that's kind of going to be the thought this morning. So, have we ourselves, spiritually speaking, forgotten what we went to the store for? Have we ever stopped to wonder why we were placed here on God's green earth in the first place? Why he gives us a choice of accepting him or denying him? When we see another person dying without accepting God or Christ into their lives, do we ever consider the reason for our existence? Have we forgotten what we came to the store for? Lest we do forget, I think Paul gives us some very good instructions in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and in verses 13 and 14 of that chapter. This is really the basis for what we'll be talking about. It says there in verse 13, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love." During the American Revolution, I wanted to try to get a lesson that had some history involved, because I know Craig is the big history guy. The American Revolution, I think we've all seen this in our history classes. There was an army of some 16,000 men that was raised from the citizens of Boston. And it was the duty of these men to be ready day in and day out, and to be ready at a minute's notice. And as we know, they were called Minutemen for that very reason. They never knew what was coming their way, what emergency they might be dealing with. But to go along with that, their safety and the safety of everyone in that city depended upon their readiness. Is it any less true today when it comes to God that he needs men just like that, that are ready at a minute's notice, men who are ready to serve as leaders or as teachers within God's realm? These people have to train themselves up and be ready for the battle that takes place in our lives. They must, as we see in 2 Timothy 2:15, an often read portion of Scripture, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." These are men who are not ashamed of their beliefs and their convictions and are ready to stand up for and support those things in their everyday lives and in the things that go on around them. God is seeking the enlistment of men such as these, men who will serve as volunteers and be ready and on the alert, men that will say, "Here am I, send me, I'm ready to do your will and your work." I have an example of a man, and I'd never heard of this guy, but his name is Andrew Summers Rowan, and I think he's one that shows the type of approach that we should have in our everyday battles. Rowan was a man that was chosen by President McKinley. He was chosen to deliver a message to a Cuban general by the name of Garcia. This all took place in the late 1800s during the Spanish-American conflict. What he did is he took a letter that had the message to this general in it. He sealed it in a pouch, waterproof, of course, because he was basically going into the tropics, and he strapped it around himself, landing on Cuban soil in an open boat. He was basically swallowed up in the jungles of Cuba. Well, it took him 3 weeks to cross the enemy-infested island by foot, by himself, and delivered this letter to this Cuban general. Now, this sounds like a strange story, but there's really a point to all this. What it amounts to is Rowan took this letter and he accepted the responsibility that went with what he had to do. He didn't ask, what's in it for me? He didn't ask, where is this guy? I mean, he didn't even know for sure. But he simply accepted and delivered the message that was given to him, because someone being the President of the United States, put their trust in him. And to him, that trust was sacred. What God wants most from us is not book learning, instructions of that type, even though that's important. But he wants us to have a realization that once we have acquired his word, that it has to be first and foremost in our lives and in our hearts. We have to be loyal servants of him, and we have to be willing to act promptly and to concentrate our energies on doing what he wants us to do, doing his will. How many men do you know who feel you could trust with a message of great importance, a message upon which other lives depend? God himself has entrusted that message to each one of us, to you and to I. As it says in Luke chapter 24, if you'll turn there with me, in verses 46 to 48, Christ speaking here. Yes. It says, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. We're God's witnesses, just like the disciples of that day were. This being the case, do we each one deliver his message whenever and wherever we need to? Or do we keep it to ourselves? Do we neglect that word, that good news, the gospel, from others? God's looking for men to do his will. And through endless years, he's anxiously searched for those individuals that'll do just that. God needs men who are willing to carry his message. And every time I say men, you can think women too. Men who will accept the job that God wants done without considering the rewards for doing that particular job, or the opposite as well, the persecutions or the things that go the opposite way for doing it. Men to whom the verse in Matthew 25:21 means something. The Lord here, this is the talent, and he's praising the men who use their talents, but yet he rebukes the one that does not, who hides it. Sam Snead, one of the finest golfers to ever play the game, was playing in a golf tournament one time. He hit an approach shot. It rolled 15 feet past the cup. He stopped. He decided that wasn't a good thing. So late that afternoon, here's Sam Snead, as I said, one of the greatest golfers of all time, out on the practice green with hundreds and hundreds of golf balls, practicing that very same shot for over 2 hours. When someone walked up to him and asked him, why are you out here practicing this shot? He simply exclaimed, I have to play again tomorrow. Like Sam, the Christian has to train constantly, for we have to play again tomorrow. We'll face temptations again and again, and we have to be ready for those things that come in our lives to confront us. A good scripture to use in that regard, and Todd did a good job of reading it, came from Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 10 through 20. We won't look at that again, but I think we pretty much get the feel for those scriptures. We talk about them a lot, but that is, you know, the defenses that we have toward those things that confront us in the world, those temptations, those things that confront us. And all of those, the defenses and obviously the offensive part of that as well, all come from God. And they all have to do with the righteousness that we are to look at through God or be a part of in being God's children. Jesus did not come into this world to give men an easy peace. He came into this world to give us an eternal victory. He didn't come to make life easy, but he came to make men great. We're all sons of God, and because of our faith, we experience the power of him. And in the end, we have a promise made to us, that promise being heaven. This is our purpose. This is our mission. And this is what we came to the store for. So be watchful, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and finally and lastly, let all that you do be done in love. In a little town in Scotland, we're told that there once lived an odd little man who wore a coat covered with bright patches. And every time I see this or think about this, I think of Joseph, but this really has nothing to do with him. But anyway, when people asked this little man why he wore such a silly coat, he replied, "The patches represent the sins of my neighbors. I wear them to remind them of their sins." Well, in the back of the coat, toward the bottom, was this little tiny patch that was kind of hard to notice. When asked about it, though, he answered, "Oh, that's my own sin. I can barely see it." Does that sound familiar? Really, kind of the thought here reminds me of Matthew 7, verses 1 through 4. If you want to turn there with me. Christ speaking says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye?" Jesus, the author of love, uses this illustration to show us what love is really all about. 1 Corinthians 13, and we won't read that, I think we all know that kind of as the love chapter in 1 Corinthians. We see love defined there as envying not, suffering long, not selfish, bearing all things, believing all things, enduring all things, and hoping all things. Jesus Christ never struck back at his opposition with the weapons that they used. He struck back with love. And because of this, the opposition that he faced is gone, and he lives. Jesus was the greatest physician of all time. He saw that need in each one of us and in man as a whole. So instead of him saying, "Arise, thou art healed," he said, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." This shows the real love of Jesus Christ, a love that he commands each one of us to share one with another. Heard this one time, actually I think this may have come off the internet, but thought this was kind of neat and applied. Let all that you do be done through love and giving back. Danny Kaye, who I think is probably long gone, as is Sam Snead, but Danny Kaye was traveling around the world on behalf of UNICEF, and he entered into a conversation with a passenger on the plane that he was on. The other man really didn't see much point in UNICEF as an organization. After all, he said, "Aren't the diseases of the world just nature's way of taking care of the population explosion that's before us?" Well, Danny Kaye replied back, "Well, you know, that's a logical explanation. So why don't you put that to the test the next time your child gets sick?" Someone once said, "Love is your pain in my heart." A man named Edwin Markham once wrote some lines, and I think I've seen somebody else use this in a lesson here, but I think this applies as well as it does pertain. But Edwin Markham wrote about a man who he thought had really done him wrong, had done him a great injustice. Mr. Markham was, of course, very bitter toward this friend for a while, but he overcame his bitterness and he wrote these lines. He drew a circle to shut me out, heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that shut him in. Actually, we can see that Mr. Markham had the right idea here. He knew what he had come to the store for. Let us all do what we do in love for one another and with one another, because we're all in it together when it really comes down to it. Remember the two commandments that Jesus gave us that covered all commandments in Matthew 22:34-40. We won't read that, but I think that's really the commandments are the basis for our faith and Christian faith, and that all comes back to what we've been talking about, and that's love. So do we as Christians practice that? We have to, because, as I said, we need to stick together. We need to work together, one with another. We have a common goal, and we have to concentrate our times and our energies on that goal. Jesus put those two commandments together, love God and love our fellow man. These two were forever joined together, with the latter being rooted in the former. The love of God encompasses is that love in action among men. And it means an end to selfishness, means an end to greed, racial hatred, war, anything and everything that is in conflict with God. So, he calls men to serve today as Christians. We need to be a man for God every minute of every day. We need to be watchful, stand firm in our faith, be courageous and be strong, and let all that we do be done in love, as we saw in 1 Corinthians. And above all, we can't forget what we came to the store for. So this morning, as is the case each and every time that we come together, we offer Christ's invitation to those who have not become a part of Christ's body, or to those that have sinned and would ask for the prayers of the church, the group that meets here. So with that, if there's anything that you have that you would want to come forward with, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing. There's a fountain.